usually the children they lose, not the adults. Men, that was the strongest I've ever heard y'all sing. That is fantastic. And Janet. Janet was back there too. But that is one of the strongest parts that I've heard y'all just bellow it out, and it sounded perfect. Was it, Jimmy? Well, it sounded good in my ears. I don't know what perfect is, but it was good in my ears. Y'all did it. The whole choir did great, but the men, y'all really just came out that time. I heard it well up here, and that was good. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As we continue to look into some favorite passages of Scriptures and some that sometimes we understand and sometimes we don't understand, we want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 through 24. As Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, these are the words that he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to make new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. May God add a blessing upon this reading. As we look at it, we're talking about the daily routine of abiding. And as all of us know that we all have some form of routine, I have heard that when you retire, there is no routine, but then I found out that there is a routine. So there's a routine in everything that we do. In my college days, it was quite different than it was now. I would set the alarm, get up, jump up, throw the clothes up in the air, and kind of run through them as I headed to the door, grab the door, down to the cafeteria. Thank goodness it was a small college, and I didn't have to run across campus to do that. Grab me a cup of coffee and the donuts, and at the same time carry my books up to the class and be there at 8 o'clock, and I did it all in 10 minutes. That was the routine every day in college. Now that I'm older, I don't quite jump out of the bed like I used to, and it doesn't take me 10 minutes to get that routine started. And it takes longer than that. Sometimes it even takes a nudge from my wife to saying, you do know you have to get up. And I look at her and I said, you know you do too. That becomes the routine of our lives. And as we see that, it takes these types of things. But as we think about our routine, I want us to think about what is our spiritual routine. What do we do spiritually every day that is a routine? Now, not necessarily a rut of something, but what is our routine every day in Scriptures, in prayer, and time with God? We see that as we talk about the daily routine of abiding, abiding in Christ is what discipleship is all about. It's a slow, gradual process. And as we think about that, that is the beauty of Christianity. Christianity doesn't put us all in one lump group, does it? If you have been a Christian for, say, 30 years and you led someone to the Lord today, that doesn't mean that person's on the same level of maturity as you are, does it? You've had a little more time to learn more about Christ than a newborn has. So as we think about that, we grow in Christ, and that is our goal, is to grow in Christ and help others that are newborn babes to begin to grow also. It's like raising children, isn't it? You start out as a babe, you can't quite understand, so you try to figure out what's going on, and they finally get a voice where they can tell you what's going on, and then you wish they didn't have that voice because they tell you everything else too, and you watch them grow until they mature and they leave, and then it starts the cycle over again with them. That is the growth that we look here, is we're growing one another. That is the problem with churches today, is we forget that it is a cycle. And once the parents raise the children, it's time for the children to raise, become parents and raise, and it continues. But in churches today, we see a lot of times that we forget that we need to continue bringing new children into the church. We need to reach out and do it and to help them to grow. But why would that matter if it is a gradual process? It matters because just as you were created to love God and to love others, you were also created to become like Christ. Now, The devil can imitate Christ, can't he? He can do anything Christ can do, except for one thing. He can't save you. But he can act nice to you. He can entice you. He can do all kinds of things. He can even lead a Bible study, can't he? But he can't lead you to Christ. If he led you to Christ, then he would become a Christian and not the devil's foe that he is. And so we see that it is a time where we come like Christ. And that means not just imitate, but to be like Christ in and out. We should be able to witness to people in our lives every day without ever speaking a word. We don't need the four spiritual laws. We don't need a tract. We don't need the Bible to read out of. Our life should tell others that we're Christians. And when they see that, they're going to want that also. That is the love that Jesus is doing. Why did he draw people to him? The Pharisees hated him because he was drawing people because of his love for them, his concern for them, his prayers for them, his kindness to them, his gentleness to him. And as they were seeing that, they were drawn to it. And he would tell those that had sinned, sin no more. And he loved them. The woman that was caught in adultery, that had been accused, he says, what, at the end? Your accusers have not found anything. They've not stepped forward. They've not cast a stone. And so my advice to you now is to what? Go and sin no more. And that's what he's looking for us. As we look, we see also that these three words became very evident in the New Testament. Make every effort. Eight times I found in the New Testament. In Luke 13:24, he says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. In Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. In Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond. And then in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace. 2 Peter 2:5, make every effort to add to your faith. And finally, 2 Peter 3:14, make every effort to be found spotless. It sounds like to me that the writers of these different books have said that we need to do what? We need to make every effort to become the very best Christians that we can do, to put forth the very best that we can to serve God. God changes us only if we invite Him to do it. He's not going to make us change. Our parents make us change when we misbehave, don't they? But God is not. He is going to let us wait and invite. And when we invite Him in, then He will come. So this morning I want us to see quickly some things that will help us. In verse 2, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So number one, put off the old self. Take the old self off. This is part of a daily routine that we talked about earlier. The difference between men and women. Now, the person that wrote this said it was a joke, but I see it as very true. He says a man looks in the mirror in the morning and sees that things aren't looking so good. In fact, he's a mess. So what does he do? He shrugs his shoulders and heads out the door. How many times have I done that? I look and I say, what am I going to do about that? Oh, well, let's go on anyway. But a woman looks in the mirror and she sees also the things that are not looking exactly perfect. So what does she do? She looks in the mirror. She does a few of these little numbers, as I watched my wife do it a number of times. And she says, hey, I can fix it. The difference that we see. Every day we need to take a good look in that mirror, don't we? To look and to see, what do we see? Do we still see that old self? That part of us that is lazy, that part of us that is corrupt? James 1:23-24 says, anyone who listens to the world but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking in himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So how do we take off that old self? In Vacation Bible School, we use it very simply. First, we confess our sins. Ask God to protect from being corrupt. ask God to give us guidance, and then rip off the old self. Get rid of it. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Now, that doesn't sound as easy, and it's not as easy to do as it sounds. Most of us get kind of attached to our old self, don't we? We like what we are like. We've spent years getting the way we are. It's been around a long time, hasn't it? Many of you may remember the 70s. For men, the clothing style was a plaid leisure suit with a burnt orange shirt. And you remember the styles of the bell bottoms and all of that? They're way out of style. And they didn't last long. But you know, I owned a pair of those. And they were mine. And I liked them. And I got comfortable with them. And when things changed and my parents said, hey, you need to get rid of those and get some more clothes, I didn't want to get rid of them. But I finally came to the conclusion they needed to go. And that's just the way it is with God. He sits there and he looks and he sees those old suits and he says they need to go. But we have to be willing to let them go. It's a hard choice sometimes to give up things. But if we do that and we can give up those, the next step is to get an attitude adjustment. I have one son that needs an attitude adjustment very often. And as I got on him about it, I realized he was getting it from his dad. So dad needed an attitude adjustment too. Verse 23 says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Let's admit it. Most of our thoughts in life are on autopilot. We don't think about things. We just kind of go through routines. There's very little thinking in what we do from day to day. We seldom ever stop and examine our thoughts. Paul says when we take communion that we are to examine ourselves before we take communion. We should examine ourselves each and every day. That is part of what is looking in the mirror of God is all about. We need to abide in Christ. And this means that it means to take over our minds, to redo, to lead, to trust. Military is the best way to explain that. When you go into the military, you're to do what you're told to be able to do. When God tells us that we need to share the gospel, that is exactly what He's doing. He's commanding us to do it. It means to abide in Christ. We want to do it. John 15:7 says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. I've realized my prayers are selfish. Give me a speaking voice. Give me knowledge to read the Bible so I can preach it. Give me the right words to say in the pulpit. Give me this. Give me that. And they're good things. Don't get me wrong. I'm asking for God's help in it. But I'm not really looking for God's will, am I, in my life? Yeah. Give me wisdom. Oh, by the way, I forgot, too, that God is supposed to give it to me with the snap of a finger, not over a period of time, right? We want it instantly. Exactly. But what God is saying, we are to abide in Him. Gypsum Smith, who worked with the Salvation Army for many years, had a man come to him and he says, you know, I get nothing out of the Bible. He asked him, have you been reading it? He says, yeah, I've read it several times, and I just don't get anything out of it. Gypsum looked at him and he says, let it go through you once, and then you will have a different story to tell. You know, I've read the Bible. I've read it. I've done read through the Bible in a year that Virginia Baptist and Southern Baptist have put out. And I was committed to it daily and read it every day. And I read through the whole Bible. But it's only when I realized that it needed to read through me that I had a different story. President Ronald Reagan said, within the covers of one single book, the Bible, there are answers to all the problems that face us today, if only we would read it and believe it. So why do Christians get out of the habit of reading? I think it's because of the ups and downs of life. Each one of us could sit here and say, wow, my weekend was just jam-packed full of activities. My week is so full that I just don't have enough time to do anything. And that's true. We are busy people, aren't we? We've got so much stuff going on that sometimes we just have ups and downs. All of us go through dry spells. I love sports, but it hurts when you see your team go through a dry spell and they do nothing. God looks at it the same way. He hurts when we as Christians go through dry spells. The third thing we see, put on the new self in verse 24. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holy. Becoming like Christ is not a matter of imitation. It's more than that. It is letting Him come into your heart, letting Him come into your whole body, your mind, and soul. There's something supernatural at work almost, isn't it? It's hard to understand, but Jesus actually lives within us. Our bodies become a living temple, a holy temple. And the Bible says that as we do that, we will see a difference in our life. The commentator in the book of Ephesians, one of them, said this: you are not created to become a god, but you were created to become like God. How many times have we tried to not become like God, but became God and tried to rule over? But then he goes on to say, because of this, God's goal for you is not comfort, but character. Which basically means that life is not about you, and God is not your servant to meet your every need. Instead, you exist for God's purpose. And I thought, wow, how have I missed the boat? How many times have I looked and tried to make God my servant instead of being servant to God? God's not here to please me. I'm here to please God. I'm here to serve God. That's what it's all about. The new self is we put on every day, the self that exists totally for the purpose of pleasing God. The old self is not necessarily that, and it changes. Every day we need to leave the house wearing godly garments. Leave the house with our eyes open to opportunities to practice our faith. How many of you get up every morning and say, God, I want to see something exciting today. Show me what you want me to do today. And then at the end of the day, how many of us can say, God, I thank you for that. I know what you had for me today. I'm going to be honest. There's some days that I go to bed at nights wondering, God, what did I miss today? There wasn't anything exciting. How did I miss it? With the eyes of the new self, we can look at the world from a heavenly perspective and not from ours. I was talking earlier to a couple and saying, you know, I'm glad that I'm at the end of my ministry. I'm towards the end. These young people that are coming out today with everything changing in this world today, I don't know if I can handle it like they can. And I'm going to be honest. I admire when I hear of a young person accepting the call to preach, to lead. I admire them because I would probably sit down and cry. It's changed so much, people. And we need to see that we need to make every effort to grow in Christ. And when things change, we need to change with them. Young people need mentors. Mentors are people that uplift, give encouragement. I've got a young man that I've been working with, and I made the famous statement. Well, in my day of thinking, you ought to do this. And I thought, wow, what an idiot. I had that told to me, and I swore I'd never do it again. And guess what?
I turned right around and did it and had to ask forgiveness. It's helping them to do the things that God has called them to do. It means putting together. It means on a daily basis we need to put off the old self with its deceitful desires. We read God's Word so that we can be new attitudes in our minds. A new attitude. It's time for Christians to walk around with their heads held high, smiles on their faces, joy around them, saying, I love Jesus, and I want you to love Him too. I want you to see the love in me so that you can have it too. It isn't easy. It isn't automatic. Most of us can remember growing up on a straight stick in a car, 3-speed transmission or something like that. You mentioned that today, and most kids don't understand it because everything's automatic now. Everything has become automatic. And sometimes I think we bring church and Christianity to become automatics and not the way. Growing in Christ is God's plan for us, and He will not give up until the transformation is complete. As we come to the close, we think about that daily routine of abiding in Christ. What routine do we have spiritually each and every day of our lives? Let us pray. Father, thank you for this message that you've given us today, the words that we've read from Paul, the words that you gave him to speak and to share. May we take it and not just listen to my words that were mentioned here today, Father, but to hear your words. May it touch each one of us as that need needs to be touched. And only you know that with each person, Father. Move us now. Speak to us. And as we come to the close of this service, let it not be the close of us leaving and sharing the gospel, but let it be a beginning. Father, help us to have a better spiritual routine in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The hymn of invitation is number 308, or the words will be up on the screen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. As we stand and sing the song in just a second, we give an invitation to invite people to come to the front to make decisions. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we'll invite you to come, and I'll be here to pray that prayer with you and to help you understand about Christ. If you need to rededicate your life, we encourage you to come and just join. You don't have to talk to me. You can just come and bow down here at the front at the altar and just pray yourself. That's the beauty of God. He doesn't need us. He can hear all the prayers Himself. Or if you feel the need to join this church, then we invite you to come to the front and say, God has led me here, and I know this is where I need to be, in a church that teaches and preaches and practices the Word of God. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, you come as the Lord leads.
together with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's also great to see that we have these young men, little boys, becoming men, and they grew up so quickly, and we are glad they could be a part of us and that we have the facilities that they can use. I know you'll see a couple of them with the uniforms on. The rest of them, I think, are sitting down here on the mothers and dads of the children. I know you'll want to speak to them. Two events that we need to start putting on our minds and hearts and our calendars. Easter is coming up, so we want to prepare for the Easter services. Amanda is working for the Saturday before Easter an activity for our children here